Hey, friends. We've been getting a lot of questions lately and like people in our DMs about when to know it's the right time to leave a job and how to determine if it's really like that bad. Like there's like some imaginary scale that Sarah and I hold that like we're like, yeah, that's fucked up. You should leave. But spoiler alert, the answer like is if you're questioning it at all, part of you is like you should leave. And by part of you, it means most of you. Yeah. This week, we're going to chat with one of my other best friends, also met him at G2, also a brilliant marketer, John Thomas Lang. JTL, he's a little bit further along in his career than we are, so he's obviously seen some more shit than we have. But he's always been able to manage to kind of move through and stay true to himself, and I just respect the fuck out of him for it.
He's a marketing leader and the kind that doesn't need to say that out loud. He's just a cool, calm, and collected presence that just knows his shit and knows what he should be doing within an organization. Similar to our experience, John has made some strategic moves in his career and it's gotten him to where he is now, which is the director of brand marketing at Retirable. But as we all know, it's never all rainbows and butterflies to move companies every few years. And so we're here to chat about how to know when it's time to make a move and how that aligns with your personal life and how to know if your job is serving you. So, let's get into it.
How much editing do you guys do of this? Like, if I, like, sneeze in the middle, are you going to keep it, hopefully?
No. I keep like banter and I keep funny things, but if any of us sound dumb, I cut it out.
Yeah, cool. Sarah's pretty good about just being like, nope, gotta cut that whole toxic piece out. Great.
I like to preface things with like, I'm gonna cut this out so that when I get to it, I'm just like, however long Sarah's talking, delete.
Yeah, you gotta mark it.
It works. But I'll start it with a little.
All right. Let's talk about a little bit of like your backstory, how you've gotten to where you are now. Obviously, it's a little pertinent to the conversation that we're having today. So,
yeah. So I was born and raised in Denver, grew up out there, really enjoyed living out there. And then obviously with everybody kind of need an escape when you hit adulthood and want to live your own life, want to build on your own. Had a great opportunity throughout my whole life to study music. I was raised in a really musical family. So growing up my whole life, I studied voice, I studied other instruments, picked up whatever I could, played in a bunch of groups with people, really enjoyed that. And then, you know, decided kind of in high school, that's what I wanted to pursue in college. So visited Chicago and just really fell in love with the city. Decided to come out here, moved out here when I was 18, graduated, got into the real world and was kind of realizing that doing music for how I wanted to make my living wasn't exactly the best way for me to do music. It was less so like concerning about making an income. That wasn't really a priority for me at that point. But I started to kind of lose the love and passion for it while I was trying to do that. So Had some great opportunities, had some terrible jobs, obviously, coming out of music school, just like horribly underpaid call center work. Like, you know, but I really tried at each turn to make the most impact that I could there. And so had kind of a 4-year stint just kind of living my life as a post-college grad, not really knowing what I wanted to do and taking up anything that could, you know, pay me barely enough to scrape by. And whatever really kept me in Chicago was kind of my mindset at that point. And then I actually ended up getting terminated from that job after 4 years and kind of was like, okay, where do I go from here? And really just took the time to search for things that I kind of wanted to move into and found an awesome tech startup here in the city. Initially was hired as like an implementation person, got in there, started doing that, and then really just realized marketing is what the company needed. Marketing is kind of where I wanted to go in. I was already kind of used to myself marketing myself as a musician and who I was as a creative. And so it was kind of an easy process for me to roll into that. I remember I kind of presented forward a plan of what I wanted to do with that company as far as leading their marketing and fully was expecting my boss to be like, no, stay in your lane. Instead, she was totally the opposite and was like, yep, let's do it. Encouraged me the whole way. And that really helped me kind of springboard into this. from there, you know, I've had the opportunity to have some really amazing roles, jumped over to G2, jumped over to Amount from there, and worked at a few different places since then. So really have just tried to build and build on every place that I went. You know, I really realized early on, like, I was kind of behind the eight ball when it came to some of my peers, because I didn't have that traditional like business or marketing experience in college. So everywhere I went, I really tried to treat it like it was like a master's degree for me. Like, where can I pick up? Where can I, you know, I remember my first job, like, I just immersed myself in email marketing. Like, how can I learn as much as I possibly could in that, in that phase? And then the next place, it was like, okay, let me learn from all these amazing content people around me. And then the next phase was like, okay, let me learn how to, you know, create demand, how to generate leads, how to really make this happen from a business side. And then all the while really focusing on that leadership aspect and how I can grow as a leader as well. So that's kind of the story as a long story. I think for me, you know, there's always the through lines of it is like creativity. That's really the area where I think marketing drew to me the most was I could still be creative. I could still use the analytical side. You know, I think that combining that creativity and that business mind is really kind of where I find my happiness within this work world.
Yeah, I think I'm super similar. And obviously that's why we get along very well is we have a lot of the same takes. We were both at John and I met at G2, same with Devin from, 2 weeks ago now? That would have been 2 weeks ago, yeah. It was interesting. My experience at G2 was the same way where I had never really been at a tech company before, but also like not around people that were also doing the same job as me. So the ability to, or like the opportunity to learn was the biggest, that was the biggest, like I'll take that into every single job of just like that perspective of like, you don't have to really know everything that you're doing as long as you're open to learning how you can do things, try things, whatever. That was definitely something that I learned at G2.
There's like a very common tech person's resume where it's like a few jobs, they get into tech, they're there for like 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a year, like after that, where there's always that like one pivotal place where you have to stay there. Like the environment is perfect for your working style. You're learning a ton. And then all of a sudden one day it isn't. And you're like, shit. Mm-hmm. And then you try and like find that same sort of environment again and again and again, and usually it's because like we just know too much, like we, like ignorance is not bliss, like we can't really just like vibe and not knowing like business practices anymore. But I think it's so funny, like if you look at a lot of people in tech, it's like they have one long for tech stint somewhere and then it's less like that's what my resume looks like. It's like getting shorter like each time, which I think is just like really interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to just like the opportunity that you can get at each spot along the way. Mm-hmm. Every place I've gone, I've tried to just find somebody in a different arena from me that I could learn from, right? So everywhere I've kind of went, it's been, okay, let me latch on to somebody who's way smarter than me in other areas and how can I grow myself there? And I think if you're doing that in tech,
there are fewer people. That just was a eureka moment.
Yeah, but I think too, like that's your way, and I think a really smart way to take a career opportunity and take it back to your own career. And like, this is for me, like this is my growth opportunity. I'm going to, you know, take the opportunity that this company has given me to do the work that they hired me to do, but to also grow myself outside of that too, which is huge.
You know, and I got to shout out my music education for that, because there was no competition for me with others. The competition was with myself. Mm-hmm. The collaboration is what happened with others. And like, you know, studying jazz in college gave me that concept just right at the forefront of everything I do, because you're really only battling yourself. The challenge is to get better for yourself as opposed to getting better than somebody else. And what I see a lot of times with especially young people in their career, they're constantly measuring their success against their peers, which is like going to get you in this constant tornado of doubt that will never actually allow you and enable you to actually succeed in what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's not even just the people physically around you, but now with social media and all this shit, it's just like, it's fucking everywhere.
Every single person.
All the time.
Yeah. There's also like that weird moment when you are at that company where you've been for a quote unquote long time in the world of tech, where like one, it's kind of like one day you're like,
It literally happens in the span of 1 hour.
Also, I really like this podcast is because people always forget about these like little minute scenarios that happen in your career where it's like literally within an hour, you're like, that's different from how I've literally ever thought about that. Is this normal? Should people be thinking about it this way? There comes to a point where it's where you start to think, should I leave? And it has never crossed your mind before, especially when you're encountering that for the first time. How would you go about deciding as an individual, I might need to start considering a new place? Because that first time is always like
jarring.
Yeah. You feel like you're no longer loyal to a company that was so loyal to you, which is like a whole other conversation that we can have. But like, how did you come to that decision yourself? And like, what did you need from yourself to figure that out?
Yeah. So first off, there's no loyalty in capitalism, right?
I knew John's cynical ass was going to come out. God damn it.
Nobody cares, right? And so the thing for me, and early on, boy, did I learn this lesson the hard way with my first job, like loyal to a fault.
Yeah.
And there's four kind of things that I would say, like if a job is doing, like you need to really listen to what that's saying to you and make a decision. And that's, I think, abuse like of any kind. Like if you're seeing that in the workplace, like huge red flag, time to get out, time to start looking. If you just start to feel your creativity sapped, especially as a marketer, that's an amazing step to be like, okay, time to start looking. Constant reorgs. I think the three of us probably can attest to this one a lot.
And the transparency or lack thereof that goes into that.
Yep. And every time there's a reorg, like you're just sitting there like, oh yeah, of course we're doing this again. You know, that's another one. And then I think finally, like any place that's limiting your advancement, whether it's, you know, things that you want to take on as stretch goals or even like within your own job, you know, if you're hired for, you know, one thing and then they're asking you to do something that's just like way remedial to what you were hired, that's time to start looking. So I think in summary, the way I would say it is like, if a job's no longer serving you, if it's taking away from you or taking away from your career, what you're trying to do, your happiness, whatever it might be, that's those times to really start looking. And a lot of times what I hear on that for the counter, like I have a lot of conversations with my friends and peers about this, and that loyalty is there for sure on their side. But they also just, they're thinking about like the societal pressures of like, how long do I need to stay at a job?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are people going to think if I leave a job after 2 years versus five?
Yeah.
And what's interesting about that is the world's changing there. Our parents, I have baby boomer parents, their average length of time at a job was over 8 years. Mm-hmm. For us and for Gen Z, like you're looking at 2 years max. Like, for a lot of these early jobs.
Yeah.
And so that's a really important thing to realize. And what I think is an interesting shift now is employers are starting to realize that, and they're kind of trying to adjust in ways that are both really fake and also like somewhat substantial. So when you can see that, and when an employer is willing to do that and willing to go above and beyond, that's a place where, you know, you can probably grow and stay at.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when that time comes for you to make that next move to really help you grow yourself, go take it. Don't worry about that loyalty. Don't worry about those societal pressures.
Yeah.
Worry about how you can grow and how you can continue to develop into the career that you want.
Going back to kind of like one of the first things you said, was just like when they do reorg a bunch of times, and especially when you're early on in your career and you're like cool with that flexibility, or like when your job changes a little bit, you're seen as a team player. And that sort of work is like applauded. People are like, oh my God, they're such a team player. They're like, go with the flow, super flexible. And it's because you just like don't know what you want your career to be yet. But when that happens later on in your career, and you don't do that, and then you're met with the same, like you're not really being a team player sort of situation. I think that's where we can remember loyalty here does not exist if it's one-sided. If you're not going to look out for the career path that I see for myself, like I can't execute on something that is rudimentary to my skills or just not in line with how I envisioned my career growing.
Yeah, it's really important. And, you know, just falling back again, what you said, Sarah, like I think it's crucial for people to understand sometimes when those reorgs actually will benefit them. Like I've had that in my life where, you know, at first I was kind of kicking and screaming about changing certain things about my role. And then 6 months later to a year later, it had helped me in so many ways. So like, it's super important to have that understanding when that comes. But where that starts is you have to have that confidence in yourself and that understanding of who you are as a human being outside of what your job title is.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's something that is a constant battle for me. As I've moved up in, you know, quote unquote title, my feeling towards like what I need to be accomplishing and the amount of stress and pressure that I need to put on myself in the workplace changes. Mm-hmm. And so my evolution of who I am as a human being has to change with that. Mm-hmm. And you have to be more empathetic to yourself and understanding like, yeah, you're trying to get this advancement. You're trying to grow your career and be better at what you're doing. But ultimately, you're only going to do that if you're right within yourself.
Right.
You know, I remember like my last situation that I was in, like a few months into the role, I really started to lose myself as a person. And like, I started to feel that after every day, you know, I felt like I would wake up, roll out of bed, work remote, put on a clown mask and be somebody that I wasn't,
yeah.
You know? And then what that caused was then like, when I was wrapping up work at the end of the evening, like it was just this feeling of like, I didn't accomplish anything. Like I didn't really feel myself in a better way. And then it just became this like never ending cycle of misery. And I remember, you know, I remember sharing that with you over those months and just like feeling like I was like, man, I'm losing myself. And like, I was doing all these things in my life to better myself, right? Mm-hmm. Across many different areas, but I still didn't feel like I was. And I think our jobs can have such that weight upon us.
Yeah. Well, especially in our industry and like what, like specifically what you and I and Sarah too, like community brand, like all that stuff, like that takes authenticity and empathy. And you have to have that in order to be able to do that job. And it's not for everybody because of that, right? So like there are people that can put on the clown mask, as you say it, and do their job for 8 hours and then like get to not think about it. And like, it's not that I'm thinking about work all of the time, but I really do feel like it's part of me. So I want to be intentional about the work that I'm doing because it matters in my life.
Yeah,
and it affects my life.
When you get to the end of the day and you're like, I don't think I did anything. And then you talk to your coworkers and they're like, oh my God, you're doing such a good job. And you're like, you think that this is a good job? Like that's embarrassing for you that you think that this is my best. I think that's another good indication of like, your job is not serving you. Going back to what you said, where there were reorgs that did serve you, it just took a bit. Like, how do you know, how do you suss out like when to stick it out?
It's always about self-reflection for me with everything. Like I know, you know, just in everything I do, like it's about, okay, first it's asking that hard question of like, am I just being a pill? Like, am I being stuck in the mud and not.
Sometimes, you know, I'll tell you, you are too.
Oh, 100%. I know. Yeah. And I know I am. And that's the thing is like, when you're able to see that and change, and I know like we've had conversations, you know, where I've expressed that to you and then have worked on changing that and other areas where I haven't been able to work, you know? So it's like, every time you got to really self-assess and see, okay, is this me or is this the situation?
Right.
And once that, the key to that though is experience in those situations. Like your first time you're going to feel that, it's going to be so overwhelming. All these emotions are going to pile up inside you. The more and more you go through that, it's a lot easier to be like, okay, I just got removed from my team and switched into a totally different role that I wasn't really supposed to be in when I was hired. Let me pause there. And instead of letting that emotion flood over me, and instead of letting like this feeling of like, I don't have any control over this, let's pause there and really understand what we do have control over.
Yeah.
What are those factors that we can change? And then how do we influence the people around us to make that positive change in that situation? Now, there's also times where somebody's like legitimately moving you there to limit your career and to prevent you from succeeding them.
Yeah.
That's a time to get out. Right. Yeah. Like, so there's two different things in that self-assessment and that like evaluation of what you're doing is really super key to help identify that, because there could be a great growth edge for you there if you let it happen. But if it's a toxic thing that just isn't going to really improve you, like time to get going for sure. For me, one thing I've learned quite recently is vet the hell out of every chief on the company.
Yeah, every leader, every person in your, especially if you're going to have close contact with them, everybody needs to be somebody that you could see yourself working with, but like also respects you. It's important. Like you have to make sure that you have a voice in that room, and like whether my voice wants to be heard or not, I still say things because that's why I got myself into the position that I am in, is to have influence there.
And they should also want to hear your opinion, because that's why you were brought onto the leadership.
And if they're not, then then you should start looking to leave. Yeah.
Like every single
it's like how many uphill battles.
If it's not like this, Yeah. Every single episode.
You start to see a pattern, right? You start to see like, I'm having the same conversation over and over again, or I thought we talked about this and now we're backtracking. And like, you start to, how many uphill battles can you have in 1 week before you're like, your legs are tired and you're like, I can't do this anymore.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say that a whole lot of luck and privilege played into that, right?
Yeah. I mean, so for
like,
all of us.
I'm not going to deny that at all. Like, there's been rooms where I've entered in and had instant credibility just because of the person that I am. And so is that fair? Absolutely not. But it's the reality of it. And what you do from there is important. So realizing that helps because it kind of takes the weight off of that, and it just allows you to kind of laugh at it and be like, yeah, whatever. I still have to prove this.
Potentially, I would love to hear your take on this. Or just like the first 90 days is to see if it works.
Yeah. It's validation. It's understanding like, okay, did what they tell me in the interview process match up to what the reality is today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, when you realize it like a month or two in on at a role that everything y'all talked about previously was not the case, that is a eye-opening moment. And I've been there. I've been there recently, and it's hard. It's a place where it's like, how do I continue to put up the quality of work that I know I can do in an environment like this? And it's not for everybody. I know some folks who can do it. They can do it really well. I'm not that type of person. I have to have that connection to what I'm doing, and I have to really feel like I'm a part of something that's bigger than that.
Yeah. It's tricky. I think as you move up too, and I'm starting to understand this now, is that like when you move up and you're given a higher title, you know, more equity, obviously a bigger bag, you're like, how much I'll put up with more, right? Yeah. You're like, I get it. I get why sometimes, you know, any leadership person is like, well, this is just the way that it is. This is what's coming down from wherever. And like, because they're making $300,000 and they're like, it's fine. Like, whatever. I, you know, like just let it roll off your back. But like me at G2 making, you know, 70, I was like, fuck this. Like, fuck you. So I think that leadership doesn't think about that enough because they don't, you know, they're so far removed, I think, from having to worry about is like, am I making a livable wage? I can't just like turn off the work and be like, I'm going to go back to my beautiful home with my whatever. It's just like.
What helps me there. And look, I mean, I've shared this with you both before. Like I had nothing like right after college. Like I was totally on my own. I was making nothing. I had food benefits to help like fill my pantry. Like I was truly in a place where it was like day to day survival. And that's really helped my perspective moving forward. And even in roles where I knew I was underpaid, even in roles where I knew that I was not getting the compensation that I deserved, that perspective helped. However, we live, I hear this all the time, it's a free market, right? If that's the case, then we should be able as workers to challenge that market and say where we deserve more. And so that's another mindset I've taken throughout my career is like, yeah, if there's an opportunity for me to level up in that arena, I'm going to do it. And sometimes that goes wrong. That might be a whole podcast series in itself. You know, when chasing the bag ever
backfired.
Yeah. And it does sometimes. But the thing about it is like you live and you learn from that and you move forward and chances are you're still going to remain at that level.
And it's experience, like to your point earlier, where you're like, you just gain experience no matter like good experiences and bad ones. You need all of it. You need all of it.
Exactly.
Say, you know, you do reach that like 90 day period or, you know, like quote unquote short amount of time. Like, how do you position that on a resume even or like within a like interview process of just like tactically when someone does come at you with the antiquated, stupid job offer, like knowing that you're simply looking out for yourself in the way that a company would look out for itself. How do you position that so that like the people who might be experiencing this, I'm just like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, but I've only been here 90 days. What would you tell them to do and how to position that experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's kind of two paths. You can either lie and say that it was a contract gig and the contract.
I'd love a lie.
I wouldn't recommend that one, but you know, the way I approach it is just be really real and honest with them and just say like, hey, you know, career decisions are made throughout your life and some of them work out, some of them don't. And the authenticity of that, in my opinion, should matter more. And when it doesn't, that's probably not a place you want to be at anyway.
Chances are like those people have also had whether it was a 3-month part of their resume or they were at a company for 2 years that they didn't really get along. Like, you know, everybody's had that kind of scenario of like, maybe this job isn't for me anymore. Like, everybody's left a job. So being authentic about that.
Yeah. And it's important to have the authenticity to yourself as well, to know that you gave like, it what you could, you know, like that in my situation, like, I knew that I gave it everything I possibly could and it still wasn't going to change. So it was like, okay, it's time.
Yeah.
But if there's a doubt in there of like, I can do more, try that, give it a shot, you know, but when that comes back to you and kind of confirms what you already may have thought, listen to that too. Make sure that you're not ruling that out.
Moral of the story, listen to yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
What kind of cheese do you have in your fridge right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I have like a blueberry Gruyere, and then like the
where'd you get that from?
I think Joe's, either Joe's or the Jewels, as the locals call it. I always keep like, you know, a provolone, a Swiss on me. I always keep them things on me. Otherwise, yeah, that's probably about it right now.
Are you eating the provolone Swiss, or is it going on a sandwich? Those feel like sandwich cheeses.
Those are sandwich cheeses for sure.
They are, yeah. Both. Can it be both? Can yeah, I be sure. Like you come out of three your cheese? Yeah, sure. Like three hours of meetings and then I just go grab a little slice of Prove and be on my way.
Incredible.
Honestly, I really respect and appreciate that. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at John Thomas Lang, Instagram at Shy City Cynic. You know, just catch me outside, all summer, summertime shy. I'm going to be living it. If there's one thing, like I would say to this audience, and I know you have a lot of wonderful people that listen to your awesome podcast. I think the thing is just like, listen to what you're thinking, like never tune that out. If you feel like something is weird, if you feel like something is off, listen to that and then find the way forward to either fix it or put yourself in a situation that's far better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can be really hard because you're in a moment where you're like, well, things feel comfortable. We get complacent sometimes about where we're at in our life. Just listen to those things that pop up in your mind and make sure that you're giving credence to them.
Love it.
You're the best.
Thanks so much
for having me.
Knowledge. It's been so real. Okay. Okay, love you, bye.
I love you, bye.